Let's see. Does it, is it working?
Hello?
Oh, it's working like it's a charm.
Look at that. Yeah, don't you just look at that.
Yeah, look at that.
Just look at that right there.
Welcome to Minnesota's Coffee Hour.
Oh, don't you know? We just drink a good cup of Joe and some whole milk cream from the cow out back.
Don't you know?
Don't you know? For someone that lives in Wisconsin, I feel like you make fun of it a lot.
I make fun of people from Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm. I do. Mm-hmm. Because I'm from Wisconsin. Suck it, Minnesota.
Wow, sorry to our 1 minute Minnesota listener.
I know.
Based on the map.
We just
lost that listener.
Sorry, Bill. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Podcasts for Good. This is one of our lengthier ones. You've been hearing the daily drips up until about now. This is season 2, episode 9 of the podcast for good.
Yes.
The real ones, if you will.
They're all real. It's not imaginative.
Well, no, we didn't imagine.
I mean, it's not like an alternative universe.
It's correct. It's not.
We just have like 3 different versions of podcasting.
Real may have not been the adjective I was searching for.
These are like our main ones.
Yes.
Yeah, these big
are
ones.
These are heavy hitters.
Yeah, the original, the OG of podcasting.
The OG podcast. Yeah. Welcome to the OG podcasts. We are celebrating Veterans Day with 2 different charities that are talking about veterans issues. I am program manager Philip Kerrigan, and you are listening to the dulcet tones of
Jerrica Ferguson.
Who? Thank you for coming in on a sick day. I mean, you're just here. You're working.
Slave driver boss. I have.
That's true. I do slave driver. I mean, just really. Thanks for coming into work today.
Yeah. No, you're welcome. Ultimately. I have some work. Actually,
you've missed a few days. Yeah. And it's nice to have you, you know, finally come into work.
Yeah, sorry, not sorry.
You know, she's not sorry. You did miss Halloween.
I did miss Halloween. I was kind of sad, but I'm glad that our team won, just like normal.
Take down the crown.
Yep.
It was great. It was great. We won a little bedazzled gold rat.
I don't feel like it was as gold as our past gold items. No. I feel like it was a little bit silverish, I didn't really like it.
Yeah, I mean, for those of you who don't know, the CFD team and community programs is a dynasty.
Legends of legends.
That's right. During Halloween, the Secretary of State's office is a fun Halloween party, and we dress up as a unit.
Yes.
And we crush it every year.
Every year.
We win best group or best individual in the group or most creative all the time. Mm-hmm. No one can really touch.
No. Everyone's like, what are they going to do this year?
I know.
Like, well, we got this in the bag.
Yeah, just wait. Just wait for it. So we are going to talk to 2 different charities that really deal more with what happens with veterans once they come home.
Yes.
It's a huge issue in today's day and age that is... I'm going to say that the unfortunate part about veterans today is they are used as a political cudgel for both parties, I would say. I think that a lot of times you have folks who claim their patriotism based on how much they support troops. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know that we've always done the best job following through for these individuals.
Right. It's particularly when they come home.
Yes. So we're talking to 2 charities who have attempted to fill that void.
Yeah.
We hit on it in both interviews where we talk a little bit about PTSD and how we've had these incredible medical advances. And I think one of the unforeseen kind of random consequences of that is that these individuals survive and they have a new injury.
Right.
And it is the psychological injury that comes home.
And it's in a way that we as a country are still trying to figure out how to fix I don't necessarily think fix is the right word, but how to help. You know, mend those scars that you can't see all the time. And these 2 charities do them in different ways, which I think is really unique.
Unique way. Cool. Yeah. We are not a political podcast, and this is not a political issue.
No.
We should be helping our veterans.
Yes.
That's pretty...
pretty simple.
Yeah. That's a pretty simple statement to make. And I think that helping... these individuals who go off and really do pretty incredible things in tough environments. The least we can do as a country is come together and support them.
Yes, more than just on this day for Veterans Day is every day is when you do see someone, whether they're in an airport or in a grocery store, and they're a veteran, and you know someone that's serving, is to thank them and welcome them home.
And it was kind of interesting in our conversations. The main thing that I got, which was really helpful, was that we have actually learned a lot of lessons as a country in the way we treat veterans who come home. Judy Russell, who is the president of the Clark County Veterans Assistance Center, she's our second interview. She talks about it, her husband being a Vietnam veteran, and the difference between the way he was treated and veterans today are treated. It's been nice to see that evolution. What has been a little bit less encouraging is we have not necessarily evolved in the services that we provide these veterans, and we're just now, it feels like, catching up. So we talked to two charities, Got Your Six Fishing. That is Got Your Six Fishing, because there's a ton of Got Your Six, and you know there's a reason why. Got Your Six means got your back. And so it's a very popular term.
But Got Your Six Fishing, they help with guiding that you guys will listen to shortly. And then the next one, which is the Clark County Veterans Assistance Center. And that is a group that really helps in full well assistance, whether it's helping them make claims to the VA, to housing, to food, clothes, multiple different things down in Clark County.
And so it, what's really cool too is a really nice geographic diversity. Clark County, and then Got Your Six is kind of
up here in Thurston.
Up here in Thurston, so it's kind of cool. So question of the pod before we dive into this.
Okay.
All right. What branch of service would you, Private Jerrica Ferguson, serve in?
Okay, so this is a little tough because my family doesn't really come from background of veterans. So I don't have like one specific.
Got it.
If my boyfriend's listening, the Army.
Shout out to James. I mean, I didn't know if we wanted to say on air.
It's fine.
Okay.
But you know.
What branch are you serving?
In the Army.
In the Army.
Yeah. So I should say that. But I also secretly think it'd be really cool to be like an Air Force pilot.
Oh,
but only if I could do that, right? Obviously. Like, just go right into it.
Oh, yeah.
I think it'd be really cool to fly.
You want to fly jets.
I watch too much Top Gun.
You're like a 4 to 6 year old boy at heart, at the end of the day. Because both of my boys are like, I want to fly jets.
See, I just think that would be cool, probably because I watch too much Top Gun. But that's the only reason.
I've got the need for speed.
Yeah. What about you?
Well, this is funny because up until my dad, my father's side of the family was Navy all the way.
Okay.
My grandfather served in the Navy, and my Uncle Mike promptly followed him into the Navy. My grandfather serving in World War II, and then my Uncle Mike serving in Vietnam. And my dad, as a just sort of natural rebellion, the type of guy he was like, I am going into the service, but I'm going into the Army. And it was always funny to, like, on, because one of the most famous college football games every year is the Army-Navy game. It has its own weekend, and it's really such a fun spectacle to watch. If folks haven't been to West Point, it's an amazing place, and it's super cool on game day. And so it's really fun to kind of have that back and forth between my uncle and my dad, myself, and I always give my uncle crap. I would say I probably would go into the Army.
Yeah.
Just because I'd follow my dad.
Right.
And so I probably would pick the Army. Yeah. I'm sorry, Uncle Mike. I apologize, but it will have to probably be the Army.
Yeah.
Although, I'm going to say this. The Navy has way better coats. Those pea coats, man, they are fantastic. They're built so that you don't freeze on the deck of a giant aircraft carrier.
It's true.
It's fantastic. Yeah. So I'd, you know,
have Navy, you put a coat on?
I own an authentic Navy pea coat.
I didn't know that.
Purchased that at Bremerton Naval Base.
Oh, up in my little hometown.
Yep.
Nice. Shout out to Bremerton.
Shout out to Bremerton.
Really Paul's boat, because I'm not from Bremerton.
I understand. But that, my favorite, though, is the Naval pea coat. Okay. It's fantastic. Because it has the buttons.
So do you wear the Naval pea coat while you guys watch the game but root for the Army?
No. I'm just only in my pea coat. I'm super conflicted. I have this beautiful Navy pea coat.
When do you use this? When do you wear this Navy pea
coat? I wore it today.
oh, I'm going to have to check this
yeah,
out.
Yeah, yeah, it's super warm. Okay. And so when it gets really cold, that puppy's going on.
All right. Well, anyways, going back to the podcast.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We totally digressed. So, Army.
Okay, cool.
So what we're going to do for you, and here's the thing. We're going to pose this question again on Twitter. And I feel like none of you people are engaging in any way. So we'd like for you to do that. Hit us up on Twitter at WaStateCFD and tell us what your, you know, favorite branch of the military service
yeah,
is.
And if you have a coat.
And if you own a military coat. Ridiculous. So with that absolutely wonderful analysis, we're going to go ahead and dive into the very first interview with Got Your Six Fishing Board Vice President Erin McMichael. Awesome. Here she is. All right, so we're joined here on the podcast by Erin McMichael. She is the board vice president of Got Your Six Fishing, right? Not just Got Your Six, Got Your Six Fishing, because I think there actually are a couple Got Your Sixes in our program even. So
yes, there are.
Thank you for coming on the podcast, first and foremost, Erin.
Thank you for having me.
So the first thing we're going to do, really simple, is can you tell us a little bit about Got Your Six Fishing and what it is you guys do for the community?
So we take veterans and active duty military out on fishing excursions as a form of recreational therapy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, awesome. Awesome. And when were you guys created?
Ryan actually started doing this on his own in 2014. We formed as a nonprofit in 2016.
Ryan. Okay. And is he local?
Yes, he actually grew up right here in Thurston County.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's okay. Awesome. What? And he served, obviously.
Yes, actually served several tours, was deployed to Bosnia.
Wow.
And several other places, as well as Iraq.
Yeah, okay. Wow.
What made him want to start Got Your Six Fishing?
Yeah.
Well, I actually met Ryan through another recreational therapy program.
Okay.
It was an equine therapy program. I was one of his riding instructors.
Oh, yeah.
And then after he finished the program, he rediscovered his passion for fishing while on a trip with another group called Warriors in Quiet Waters.
Uh-huh.
And he came back home, got a boat, started taking other veterans out fishing, and just has a real passion for helping other people.
Yeah. Now, does he himself... experience post-traumatic stress syndrome?
Yes.
Okay. And so that was really where it sort of started for him.
Yeah, then. Absolutely.
And then what made you get into to this sort of line of work to begin with?
It's really kind of funny. People assume that I'm a veteran, but I actually am a 911 dispatcher.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And
wow.
My husband is a captain with the DuPont Fire Department.
Okay.
We both have PTSD. And when I was first diagnosed, I wanted to research and do everything I could to find out more about it.
Yeah.
So that's when I started working with veterans. And it was really easy for me to relate to them and have a understanding for what they're going through.
Yeah. That's incredible.
Wow.
That's unbelievable. And you started with horses first, or you were doing other things first?
Yeah. Started with the equine therapy program first.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's really interesting to me because there's so many charities like yours that deal with these sort of very calming, sort of things to do in order to deal with it. Do you have any sense of like where that came from? What studies bore that sort of information out? What was it got folks started in that?
A lot of these kinds of things are people just going out and discovering on their own what works for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then the studies and proof of efficacy of what works, it comes later.
Wow.
I know that was a lot with the equine therapy program. We had Baylor University do a study on our program.
Oh,
no
kidding.
And it actually came back with some incredibly positive results.
Yeah.
But they needed those studies because the proof wasn't out there. And I think a lot of it is the same for the fishing that we do. And then there's other groups out there that do other things like hunting. And a lot of it is just individualized. It's what works for each person. No one thing is going to cure everyone.
Right.
Is there, when you guys are out guiding, is there particularly something that you guys see that veterans are really in need of, that not only that your group helps kind of cultivate and provide, but also maybe the community or the VA or somebody can also provide as well, that you see that we're kind of lacking somewhere that they need help in?
The biggest benefit that they get from our program is just being around other like-minded individuals, mm-hmm. other people serving, other people who have served and who suffer with the same types of mm-hmm. afflictions. Mm-hmm. And that sense of community is what is really stripped away from them when they leave the military.
Yeah.
So that's the crux of our program and a lot of other programs out there is just getting these people, drawing them out. They mm-hmm. tend to isolate
yeah.
and just kind of sit in their houses or apartments mm-hmm. and not really do anything. We get them out, get them back mm-hmm. to nature, yeah. which is naturally calming and mm-hmm. yeah. where we're supposed to be as human
right.
beings.
Right.
Yeah.
And then pair them up with people that understand what they're going through.
So yeah. how does that program work? Like, how does the pairing part work? How do you guys reach out to these individuals or people telling you?
We mainly rely on social media.
Oh, okay.
We use our Facebook page a lot for scheduling and people letting us know when they're available mm-hmm. to go out fishing mm-hmm. and then also use it for scheduling our rod building classes.
Oh, so you guys build rods?
Yeah, we teach them how to build their own custom fishing rods. And it's something that's really great for our temperamental Northwest
yeah,
weather.
Right?
You can't
yeah.
always get out on the river. Sometimes the rivers get blown out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But this is something that they can do. And it also helps a lot for our folks that are not maybe as able-bodied and yeah. can't get in the boat. Mm-hmm. But it is a really good therapy for them. And mm-hmm. they get to actually make something with their hands. And then when they're done with it, they get to take it home.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Has that always been part of the program? Or is it just kind of more new?
It came on about a year after mm-hmm. we actually started the program. But it's been incredibly successful. Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about what folks go through when they've been paired up, now they're going on these trips. What goes into that? What does a typical trip look like?
Usually starts really early in the morning.
I bet it does.
And they get to the launch point, make sure they have all the gear that they need for the day, float the river. Hopefully get some fish
yeah. yeah,
or at least yeah. get the opportunity mm-hmm. to get hooked into some fish. And then we usually have a service that takes them from the point that they float down to back to where mm-hmm. the rig is parked.
Cool.
Oh, okay.
Cool.
So is there like part of it where it's intentional, like that portion of like counseling of communication, or is it just really allowing them to speak if they want to speak kind of thing?
There's no counseling component.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In fact, a lot of times they don't even talk about military service.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They talk about just everyday life things mm-hmm. or really just talk about the fishing, talk mm-hmm. about
yeah.
strategic things that they can do to yeah. catch the biggest
yeah.
fish.
Yeah.
And of course, telling some past fishing stories. Mm-hmm. Everybody likes to talk right. about things
yeah.
that they've done.
And, yes.
But a lot of it has absolutely nothing to do with talking about military mm-hmm. service
yeah.
or anything that they've done. It's actually just getting out in nature.
Awesome. Oh, wow. Bigger existential question.
Mm-hmm.
Because it seems to be an issue, especially in the last couple of decades. And that is how we are treating our veterans who come home, because we have been able to save more and more of them in battlefields through medical innovation, but what we haven't come to grips with is that they come back with mental scars that they didn't have before they
Absolutely.
Left.
Absolutely.
Do you think that it's getting better or worse the way we as a country are treating our veterans who come back?
That's a really hard question to answer. I get mixed reviews from
yeah.
the veteran community. Some people have good experiences going through the VA, but unfortunately, a lot more have negative experiences mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. are experimenting with the parts of the VA program that allow you to go outside
right.
the VA and see your own private providers.
Yeah.
And some of them are able to get help that way. And obviously there are some that still slip through the cracks and we're not able to get to them.
Yeah. It seems like more and more of the nonprofits that pop up like yourselves are really built to fill in that gap that maybe gets ignored.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There are a ton of people out there that are realizing that there's no one method or one avenue to get to a healthy mind
yeah.
after experiencing a traumatic incident. And each person needs their own individual path. And some people we are able to be a part of that path for, some people we're
yeah.
not. But we also
yeah.
have partners in other nonprofits that are helping do the same kinds of things that we can refer them out to.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
wonderful.
Excellent.
Okay, so let's say someone hears this podcast and wants to begin to give to Got Your Six Fishing. Can you talk a little bit about what donations do for your organization?
Oh, we are 100% volunteer, so we don't pay any of our staff. All of the money goes direct to programming and the expenses involved in that. So when you give to Got Your Six Fishing, you know that your money is going towards fishing rods and lures and fuel for the boat and fuel for the truck to haul the boat around. And of course, there's also the administrative costs like insurance and things like that that we have to pay for.
Yeah.
Do you have any upcoming events that you'd like to talk about?
So we just set the date for our 2019, which will be our fourth annual Reels and Wheels.
Reels and Wheels.
Auction and dinner. We call it that because we have it at the LeMay Collections at Marymount.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So they get to see a lot of great vintage automobiles and other cool memorabilia.
Yeah.
And it's a great facility. We love having our event there. And it is going to be May 4th.
May 4th.
2019.
Okay. Excellent. Excellent.
Wonderful.
And finally, are there any other sort of takeaways you want people to get regarding your organization or even sort of the ongoing battle to help veterans come back and get back to, you know, a sense of normalcy?
The biggest thing is don't be afraid to ask people how they're doing or what they need.
Yeah.
You know, maybe all they need is to go have a cup of coffee.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe all they need is just somebody to chat with or talk to.
Yeah.
But the studies that are out there talking about suicide is not going to make someone suicidal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It might help them open up about thoughts they may have had or feelings that they may have had. It's not going to trigger them into actually committing suicide. Mm-hmm. So don't be afraid to put that word out there and talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's awesome. That's really great. That's a really great way to end it.
Yeah.
Aaron, we want to thank you very much for coming on to the podcast and talking a little bit about your really great organization.
Yeah. Well, thank you again for having me.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
All right, and that was our interview with Board Vice President of Got Your Six Fishing, Aaron McMichael.
That was awesome.
A great interview.
Great interview.
I loved it. And so now we're going to give you what I think is a special treat. She was really, really fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
This is Judy Russell. She's the president of Clark County Veterans Assistance Center. Here it is. Okay, so we're here with Judy Russell. She is the president of the Clark County Veterans Assistance Center. Judy, thank you for coming.
And thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Awesome, awesome.
Thank you.
So can you tell us right off the bat a little bit of history? We were kind of talking before we got into it. Talk a little bit about the history of this organization and what it does for the community.
Absolutely. So the Clark County Veterans Assistance Center was formed in 2011, opened in 2011. About 15 Vietnam veterans got together prior to that and said there needs to be a place where our Vietnam veterans can come and they can feel comfortable. It needs to be a welcoming environment. We need to have coffee and donuts and counseling and whatever else they need. And we need to make sure that no veteran coming home today is ever treated like we were as Vietnam veterans.
Absolutely.
So that's how it got started. We opened in 2011, and we originally were just a reference center where we referred out to the community. As people started hearing about us, they started bringing us donations. We started being able to have a closet with some clothing. We started being able to have some snacks, some donuts, and now today, we actually have a huge closet with boots and toiletries and clothing and jackets
awesome.
And rain gear. In Washington, you need rain gear.
Yeah.
That's very true, particularly right now.
And we also feed them twice a day. We feed them breakfast and lunch with donations from the public.
Yeah, and not just Vietnam vets.
No,
yeah,
no. Any veteran. Mm-hmm. Any veteran is welcome, and we a lot of our veterans are homeless and very low income.
Yeah.
We do have an assistance fund. Washington State, every county has a veterans assistance fund.
Okay.
We do have that contract. We are able to help the veterans if they qualify with rent, utilities, food, clothing, tools for work, bus passes, gas vouchers.
Yeah.
We also have 3 service officers that do disability claims. Yeah. Yeah. From the center.
Wow.
Did you help train those those claims?
Actually, I did not. But back when I was trying to help my Vietnam veteran husband with his claim, it took us 10 years because I didn't know what I was doing.
Just
unbelievable.
And so I went to school and I became a service officer so that I could help other veterans and so that I would know what I was doing.
Yeah.
So now I've been doing it for 7 years and it's the most rewarding thing I've ever done.
Awesome.
That's
awesome.
I can't even tell you what it's like when you change someone's life.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I had a veteran call me yesterday and tell me that after struggling for 5 years, he got 100%. He's getting treated for his mental health issue. Mm-hmm. And he and his wife now don't have to struggle while he's getting treated because they have the money to live so he can go and get treatment.
Yeah.
So it's amazing.
That's excellent.
Good.
And it just makes you – I said, you know, not very many people can say that they have a job where every day they save a life or they help a life or they make a difference in someone's life.
Yeah.
That kind of a job doesn't come along very often.
Right. That's
so
true.
I'm there all the time because I love it.
Yeah.
Our organization is run by volunteers. Mm-hmm. Our board of directors is all volunteers. So everyone who's there is there because they want to be there.
That's good.
So we love it.
That's awesome.
Yes.
So we'll start with a bigger, let's sort of existential question first.
Okay.
Then we'll start getting into the local stuff.
All right.
So you mentioned that that your husband is a Vietnam veteran and
correct.
That this organization was started by Vietnam veterans.
That's correct.
This is a bigger question about the way that we sort of treat veterans as they come home. We, in the last couple of decades, have become acutely aware of sort of the fact that while we're saving these more folks on the battlefield, they're coming home with some pretty tough mental scars that they didn't anticipate.
Absolutely.
So we're dealing in that space a lot more than I think we ever thought we would. Two-part question. Number one, do you think services are better, the actual tangible services are better for veterans today than, say, they were in the Vietnam era? And have you seen the way we treat veterans improve since that time period?
Well, first of all, in answer to your first question, absolutely the services are much better now than
they
were.
Well, that is good news.
Good.
Even better than they were 10 years ago.
Wow.
Because we are now more aware. Mm-hmm. The VA is more aware.
Yeah.
They're trying to make mental health services more available.
That's great.
And they're also speaking to the service people as they get out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that they are aware that there are all these services for them.
Yeah.
10 years ago, there really wasn't anything like the Clark County Veterans Assistance Center to help. You know, we direct them if they come in, they're having mental health issues, they're having PTSD, traumatic brain injury, we direct them to the mental health department at the VA, even though we are not the VA. We are county funded by your real estate taxes in Clark County. But absolutely, the services are much better. They're much more available now. Mm-hmm. The issue is getting the veterans to go and seek the services because the VA doesn't necessarily have the greatest reputation when it comes to being easy to navigate.
Oh, no kidding.
So what we do is we assure them that we will help them navigate the VA and get the proper services that they need.
Okay.
Awesome.
It is an assistance program.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And can you repeat your second question?
So the second question is more sort of intangible, and that is, have you seen an improvement in the way veterans, especially in Iraq and Afghanistan, coming home, have been treated compared to sort of the way they were treated when they came home from Vietnam?
Absolutely. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
Every Iraqi Afghanistan veteran will tell you that walking through the airport, people would stop them and thank them for their service. And any time that they're in uniform or that someone identifies them as a service member, they're thanked, they're spoken to. In Vietnam, when they came home, they were spit on and they were called names. Mm-hmm. And we never truly welcomed them home because the country was very divided.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was sad that all of our Vietnam veterans had to go through that.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And thank goodness that now, today, there is so much more help and there's so much more understanding of our veterans than there was then.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that as a country, we recognized that we did a great disservice to our young men and women after Vietnam.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And so consequently, now I think people are much more aware that we need to be different. We need to treat our service members differently.
It's sort of bittersweet, right? Because it's great that we learned those lessons.
Absolutely.
It's too bad that we learned those on the backs of the way that other individuals got treated.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah. I agree with that. Yeah. Every day I see, doing service officer work, I see Vietnam veterans who are still broken.
Yeah.
You know, when they came home, they were focusing on their family and their jobs and their careers and just focused on raising their families. Well, now they're retiring.
Yeah.
And now they have time to think about all the things that happened and how they were treated. And a lot of them are suffering.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I see that a lot.
Yeah.
And it kills me.
Yeah. Yeah. I really do hope, because, you know, we've come to World War II veterans are romanticized to a certain extent. And it's also because they're now our grandpas I hope that that happens as well at some point with Vietnam veterans, that we look at them with the same sort of, like, you know, these individuals were patriotic. They were brave and they were tough.
Yes.
And they should be as romanticized as anybody else.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I hope that someday that we show them the same respect as we show the World War II veterans.
Absolutely.
Because they earned it. They deserve it.
Yep.
There are so many of them now. In fact, some of our Vietnam veterans have passed on, you know, because of things that happened to them in service.
Yeah.
They never got thanked. They never got help.
Yep.
Right. They never got the services that they really needed.
Yeah.
So that was a tragedy.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed.
So now, looking at the as a national scale, global scale, what we're doing. Now, let's bring it back down here to local, into Clark County, where you guys serve.
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of services that you guys provide? You kind of already talked about that, but what are those needs in Clark County you see for the veterans community?
The biggest need we see right now is housing.
Housing.
Mm.
In Clark County, the housing prices are so high. The housing availability is so low. A one-bedroom apartment now, if you can find one for $1,200, you're lucky.
Yeah, I know.
And
gosh,
it's just
crazy.
It is crazy. And so we see a lot of veterans that are literally living on the street.
Yeah.
Or they're staying at the share house.
Yeah, yeah. Share of Vancouver. Yeah.
Or they're sleeping on the floor at a church. Or they're living in their car.
Yeah.
We have an instance of a veteran who has 7 children.
Wow.
She is she came to us after a domestic violence situation, and she was living in her car with 4 of her 7 kids.
Oh my God!
And so we were able to help her get housing and get a job and just be successful. And now she's actually an intern for us.
Oh, that's cool.
She's going to school and she's been so successful.
Yeah.
Just climbed right up the ladder. Yeah. All of her children are happy and successful. And it's just one of our greatest success stories.
Awesome. So. Excellent. That's
beautiful.
Awesome.
So how does that happen? Did she come to seek you guys? Did someone refer her? How does someone get involved in your program?
She actually was driving down the street and she saw the red, white, and blue sign that said Clark County Veterans Assistance Center on our window.
Yeah.
And she stopped and said, "This is an assistance center.
Yeah.
What do you guys do?"
Yeah.
And
wow.
So,
yeah. There you go.
We were able to help her from there. You know, we work with all of the our community partners, the Partners in Careers, the Work Source, the local employment office, all of those organizations we work hand in hand with.
Awesome.
And we also work closely with the VA, even though we're not the VA.
Right.
Yeah. And we stress that to the veterans because a lot of them want nothing to do with the VA itself, but they will come and allow us to assist them.
Yeah.
So, and again, I think I mentioned earlier that Washington is one of the few states that does have a Veterans Assistance Fund in every county.
That's pretty great.
Yeah. It's wonderful. We get asked all the time when veterans come from other states, why doesn't my state have this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I say, you need to go to the top and talk to them and find out. Every state needs to have this.
Absolutely.
Right. You know, I mean, where better could we put our money?
Mm-hmm. No kidding. That's a special note to charities. Make sure you have a sweet sign outside outside of your organization. Get a good sign in front of that building.
We have a great sign maker. Thank you, Dick.
There we go. Good.
He didn't shout think out. He was going to get a shout out in this podcast.
Now he has to listen.
Yep.
Yeah. You can call him out on it.
That's right.
So it mentioned, so you said you started in 2011.
Correct.
And it mentioned that your first year you went from serving 800 veterans to last year serving 3,000. Do you see that continuing to increase, or do you see that stabling out, or what are you seeing when it comes to the needs of them?
We are seeing younger and younger veterans.
Really?
And this year we are on track to help more than 4,000 veterans.
Wow.
One of the things we did last year was we had a radio telethon called Operation Helping Our Heroes.
Uh-huh.
And we were able to raise $100,000, and we, with that money, we helped 94 individuals and their families with housing and with food and with car repair and with emergency trips for a funeral, just all different kinds of things.
Yeah.
And so that, as we see younger and younger veterans, their needs change.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, the Iraqi-Afghanistan veteran doesn't necessarily need the same thing that a Vietnam veteran might need.
Mm-hmm.
But they all need stable housing.
Yeah.
That's our number one issue in Clark County is stable housing.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we do what we can to help them seek employment. We have a work source rep that comes to our office every Tuesday. We have a meetup.com meeting the first and third Thursday of the month for veterans to just come and talk to other veterans.
Mm-hmm.
If they just want to come to the meeting and say, hey, I'm retired, I'm not married, I need somebody to talk to, they have other veterans there because it really takes a veteran to help a veteran
because
they're the ones who understand their issues.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
So,
yeah. That's one thing I think that will, it's really tough with a volunteer military the way we have today, and it's only 1% of the population.
Correct.
Is that you're talking about the other 99% really have no idea what the stresses that went into that individual's service time.
That's very correct.
Yeah. So,
you know, I always like to say, though, that we only have 1% of the population because they're the best and brightest.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
So, you know, it's unfortunate that the average person who has not been in the military doesn't get involved in some way to figure out what it's like for them.
Yeah.
I know they will never be able to understand completely what it was like.
Mm-hmm.
But if you come and you volunteer somewhere like our CCVAC and you work with these veterans every single day, it certainly gives you some feel for what they've been through and what they're still going through.
Mm.
So I encourage everyone, if you can, work with veterans.
Yeah.
Get involved with them. Meet them. Talk to them. They're wonderful people.
Yeah. Awesome.
And they have given everything for us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Some of them will never be the same again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it touches me every day when I meet these veterans who have given their all. They've lost their families. They've lost their homes. They've lost everything. And they would all do it all over again.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, if you ask them, if you had it to do over again, would you do it? Every single one of them will say, absolutely.
Yeah.
So it's fantastic to be able to work with them and get to know them and actually see that these are the best and brightest.
You know,
some of them have been through trauma and horrible things, but they're still the best and the brightest. You just have to bring it out of them.
Yeah.
Right. Awesome.
And let them know that we're there for them.
That's awesome. So let's say someone hears this podcast and they're pumped now because you just motivated them.
Good.
And they want to start giving to your organization.
Mm-hmm.
What do donations do for your assistance center?
Oh, boy. First of all, the center operates on fundraisers and donations. So a lot of the donations that we get, mm-hmm. we buy meat to make lunches for the veterans or breakfast.
Yeah.
We get donations of clothing and boots and tarps and sleeping bags and backpacks. And these are things that we pass out to the veterans who are actually sleeping on the sidewalk or the veterans who cannot afford to go out and buy them.
Yeah.
We also get donations of school supplies. We help the children before they go back to school. Even a $10 donation mm-hmm. to the center buys toiletries for the mm-hmm. veteran so that he can have a washcloth and a bar mm-hmm. of soap and a toothbrush and toothpaste. If he's living on the street, at yeah. least he can wash his face and brush his teeth.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there's so many things. Every penny that mm-hmm. we get at the center goes to help the veterans.
Awesome.
That's wonderful.
You know, we have over 40 volunteers. And we have some volunteers that work 4 hours a week, and we have some volunteers that work 24 hours a week
mm-hmm.
because they love it.
Yeah.
They see the difference
yeah.
that we're making in the veterans' lives.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's a feeling that you can't get everywhere,
yeah. Yeah.
that warm, fuzzy feeling that you get when you help someone. So
yeah.
every penny, we make it work for the veterans. We help them with bus passes.
Yeah.
We help them with toiletries. We help them with clothing. We help them with food. And then, of course, with the assistance fund, we're able to help them with the bigger items, you know, the rent and the and
yeah.
the utilities and things. But if one side of the building can't help them, the other side does.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
we do whatever yeah. we can
yeah.
do. For any veteran who comes through our door,
yeah.
we try to make sure that when they leave, they're happy and they're helped.
Okay. Excellent.
So.
That's
excellent.
Wonderful. Can you talk about, do you guys have any upcoming events or programs you'd like to highlight?
Actually, I do.
Wonderful.
On November the 10th, uh-huh. we are going to be selling our swag and passing out our information
uh-huh.
at the Clark County Event Center with the Storm City Roller Girls.
Okay.
So they're going to be Storm City Roller Girls versus Chaos Theory.
Oh,
and okay. It's going to be quite an event. The doors open at 5 and the bout starts at 6 p.m.
Okay.
And if you haven't seen the Storm City Roller Girls, they are so much fun.
Yeah.
Awesome.
The derby is just, it's not like it used to be. They're
yeah.
not beating each other all over, you know. It's just fun. It's good
yeah.
family fun.
Yeah.
And this is
yeah.
a place where you can come, bring your veteran, bring your children, have a great time. We will have all of our stuff there, and we will have veterans there meeting and greeting the public
cool.
and talking about what we do.
Yeah. Awesome.
Awesome.
The other thing is Operation Helping Our Heroes
mm-hmm.
is going to be broadcast on KPAM Radio, which is 860 AM,
mm-hmm.
November 26th through November 30th from 6 AM until 6 PM. All of our volunteers and our veterans and some surprise guests will be there answering the phone
okay.
and taking donations so that we can help another 4,000 veterans
yeah.
next
That's
year.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome.
Perfect.
Well, Judy, thank you so much for coming on,
of
talking
course.
A little bit about not only veterans' issues, but then what it is that you do. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Thank you
so
for
much,
having
Judy.
Me. I really appreciate it.
All right. All right, so that was our really incredible interview.
Fantastic. Fantastic interview.
Super motivating.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
They're really doing something down there in Clark
yeah,
County.
Yeah, and you can tell that she's really passionate mm-hmm. about the work.
Yeah, I just think it's really cool that she like saw the difficulty it was to do the claim for 10 years for her husband, who's
yeah.
a Vietnam vet, to then go, you know what? I got to help others.
And she did something about it.
So she went to school for it. And yeah, just in,
yeah.
that was just awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, I feel like that's one of the things. It's such a it's such a microcosm of what mm-hmm. being a veteran mm-hmm. really mm-hmm. is, that experience.
Right.
So I think that what is really amazing about folks who serve is that they see a problem just like most of us do. And then instead of just doing what most of us do, which is just kind of talk about it,
mm-hmm.
they go and they jump into it.
Right.
And they are people of action.
Yes.
And I think that that is really commendable. And I will say this to the folks who are Vietnam vets and folks who are veterans of Iraq and Afghanistan. A lot of times we don't put the cloak of patriotism over those individuals the way we did for folks who were in World War II, because that one was such clear, delineated good versus sort of bad, sort of. It's a romantic war almost in a way. And these other wars have been political wars, right? That have been disputed and have had real gray areas involved. Mm-hmm. What makes these individuals so patriotic is that even in the face of that, they still go serve.
Oh yeah,
and it's really cool.
Yeah.
So shout out to all those veterans.
Yeah.
This one's being aired on November 9th, which means on November 11th, you have an opportunity as a person who's just out there walking around to thank a veteran for the service that they did.
Welcome them home.
Yeah. And so I hope that folks do that. I hope that you were inspired a little bit by Judy and Aaron and what they're doing for veterans. Mm-hmm. They're filling the void that we're all trying together to actually fill, but they're out there doing stuff.
And again, if you are listening to on iTunes, please rate and review us. And if you're listening on our website, you can learn more about the charities by just in that little box that you clicked in to listen.
That's right. And one last thing, an upcoming event that those of you who liked this podcast might also like, and that is the Stuff the Ruck.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So for those who are have either served or work in an office with a lot of folks who serve, Stuff the Ruck is a special little thing that DSHS volunteers are doing down here in Olympia, where they will have different locations throughout Olympia. For folks to drop off toys for Toys for Tots, which was started by veterans of the Marine Corps. And that'll be running from November 9th through December 11th. And then you'll also have an opportunity to give through your paycheck during that time,
to
them.
And
or
they do a really cool ruck run around the lake, and they come up here to the secretary's office, and it's just a really cool thing to see these people come together.
It's a pretty neat thing.
Yeah.
It's a pretty neat thing. So that was the podcast for today. We really want to thank you for listening to what was a very motivational, hopefully, podcast. Gets you kind of focused on what is important.
Yeah.
And just remind you to thank a veteran on Veterans Day. You do not have to be nervous about it. They will accept it.
Yep. All you have to do is say thank you for your service and you're good to go.
Yep. Thanks, everybody, and we will talk to you later.
Bye.